Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is week one, day two of our study of Galatians and Colossians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Galatians 1, 6 through 10. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say, God, and speak to us. We want to know you, encounter you through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Galatians 1, starting in verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Like I said yesterday, Paul is not going to do the compliment sandwich thing here. He gives a brief introduction and then he jumps right in, right? I mean, this is instantly negative. I am astonished that you're so quickly deserting the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus, and turning to a different gospel. And he says that if there's any other gospel, it's no gospel at all. In the Old Testament, Moses tells the people in Deuteronomy, he's giving them instructions on how to deal with a prophet. And Paul is going to mimic this here, that if you've got a prophet, right? So he's saying there's going to be prophets that are going to come. This is Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, talking to the people of Israel. There's going to be prophets that are going to come. And if they come and they prophesy, and even if they prophesy accurately, like super accurately, like they say, you know, there's going to be a sign in the heavens or on the earth. And what that means is like a sign for them was, hey, the Red Sea is going to part tomorrow, or the Jordan River is going to part tomorrow. And then it happens exactly as Moses or Joshua says, and that's a sign from God because they don't have any control over that, but they predicted it. And so that's a sign. And so Moses says, even if they predict accurately and they have signs from them, but they say, follow other gods, it's like the Lord is allowing them to test you to see if you will follow after other gods. And Paul is most definitely thinking of this and alluding to this notion of following after other gods that Moses warns the people of Israel about. Paul is warning the Galatians, don't follow after anything else, because if you change the gospel, it's not the gospel. If you add something to it or take it away from it, right, that, you know, Jesus is, and here's like an example of how this would have worked or how this can work. You know, yes, Jesus is the Son of God and he came to save your sins, but I am also the main messenger. I am the guy. I'm the guru that you have to follow. I'm the only one that God has anointed to lead you into all truth. I'm really kind of second to Jesus. And so you have to follow my teachings in addition to Jesus's teachings. And then, you know, and it's going to be that you have to, you know, do all of these lists of things and give me money. Generally, it's probably going to be give me money involved in it. You know, there's all of this murkiness that's more than just you need to follow Jesus. And again, there's probably almost always money or authority and things like that involved. And Paul is saying, when that happens, there's no gospel. There's no message here. This is not good news. They've perverted this and changed this. He's going to say exactly that. Let's continue on to verse 7. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. That is a huge statement. Again, this is going back to what Moses told the people of Israel, is if anybody comes and they prophesy accurately, but then they say, follow other gods, Moses actually says, put them to death, right? The Lord is using them to test you to see if you will follow him and him only. Because even if someone comes and can accurately prophesy, they say, let's follow other gods, don't follow them. Don't believe them. And Paul is saying, even if an angel from heaven comes down and says, hey, I'm an angel from heaven, but we need to follow this other gospel or this other thing, Paul says, let that angel be under God's curse, right? Let them be counted with the fallen angels, the demons, right? If an angel from heaven, one of God's holy angels is what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying if a demon comes, he's saying if one of God's holy angels comes and preaches to you any other gospel than what we've already preached to you, let them be under God's curse. Let them be counted with the demons. Right? Let the more angels fall away is essentially what he's saying here. That's a heavy statement. Now, we're going to, as this book goes on, we're going to get into exactly what these other people are coming and telling them, which is a false gospel. No gospel at all. It's trying to take people away from Jesus. That is what Paul is going to be dealing with. All right, let's continue on. Verse 9. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. So Paul is going a step further. He's going beyond the hypothetical of if an angel comes and gives you another gospel, which is essentially this hyperbolic, you know, hypothetical where it's not going to happen. But even if that happened, let them be under God's curse. But now he's getting down to kind of the brass tacks of this. For those other people that are coming to you and preaching you another gospel and perverting the true gospel and leading you away from following Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, let those men be under God's curse. That is a heavy thing to say, right? Let these people, these human beings who are leading you astray, let them be under God's curse. That's a weighty thing to say. A weighty thing to say. I mean, he's essentially saying, I mean, I would imagine that Paul would say, I would hope that they would repent, but if they don't, the Lord needs to send them to hell. And that's essentially what he's saying here, because that is the gravity of the situation. When people are coming in and perverting that gospel, it is a weighty, dangerous thing. And when you add to or take away the important aspects of the gospel message, it is a weighty thing. Verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. What Paul is alluding to here is these guys are coming through and we're going to find out that they are definitely trying to make themselves look good amongst a certain group of people. And so they're teaching these things, trying to preserve something that existed before Jesus came. We'll get into the details of that later. But they're trying to walk back the gospel message of Jesus, essentially. They're trying to say, yes, Jesus, but you still have to do all these things or you're not saved, essentially, is what they're saying. And this has been relatively common throughout all of church history. And it's a really interesting thing. It's a really interesting aspect of just human nature and humanity is this idea that Jesus, we are saved because we, and I like to use the terminology that we pledge our allegiance to Jesus. The Bible doesn't use that phrase, and I don't want it to come across like I'm adding something to the gospel here. I don't feel like I'm adding something to the gospel. I feel like I'm using language that makes more sense in our context and culture. So many people are used to using the word faith in a way that today that I don't think the Bible intends. The way the Bible means faith is not exactly the way that we use that word today. So I like to steer away from saying you have to put your faith in Jesus, because a lot of times I feel like that word gets lost in translation, even though that's the words that the Bible uses is faith, that we accept, we put our faith in Jesus and then we're saved. And that's it. We are saved by grace through our faith in him, right? Those are the words of Scripture and that's it. We're saved by that and that alone. I use a different term, again, just because I feel like our culture has become so comfortable and adopted that word and used it in ways that are counter to and contrary to what the Bible means by the word faith. I use a different word, and I often say that we pledge our allegiance to Jesus. I feel that that's a bit more culturally relevant for at least the United States, maybe not other places in the West. But for instance, we often say, I'm a man of faith, or, you know, we're a people of faith, or you're from other faith traditions, right? And what that means to people is that it's kind of the set of rules, or it's the denomination you were born into, or kind of the people group you're from. And so it doesn't mean, you know, what the Bible means by it. You know, I envision in the Princess Bride, you know, Inigo Montoya saying that word, you know, I don't think that word means what you think it means. You keep using that word. And very often in our culture, I hear the word faith and I think, I don't think that word means what you think it means. And so I use the word pledging allegiance because that's the connotation of Scripture, is that we're giving everything to Jesus. We are laying our life down to Jesus. And this is completely in line with everything that the Gospels and Paul teaches in the New Testament, is we cannot give part of ourselves to him. We cannot just say, well, yes, I'm a Christian because my parents were a Christian or because I go to church. That doesn't count. That's not the gospel. That's not how this works. We surrender our lives to Jesus because we come into an understanding that this God, this God man Jesus, he is the one who gets to decide whether we spend eternity with him or an eternity of punishment, a separation, and separation from God. He's the one that makes that decision, and it's all based on whether or not do we give ourselves to him. In the biblical term, do we put our faith in him? Do we trust that he is who he says he is, and that we believe that he will do what he says he's going to do, and that he's going to remove our sins and forgive us, and that we're going to live forever with God? Is he that? And if he is, then nothing else makes sense but to leave our life of sin behind and pledge everything we have to him. Put our faith in him in the biblical nomenclature, in what I feel is, again, a more appropriate word for our cultural setting. Are we going to do the wise thing and pledge our allegiance, give everything that we are over to Jesus? That is what the Bible means by we are saved by grace. Jesus's grace, nothing that we can do. We're saved by grace through our faith, by believing in him, by putting our faith in him, by pledging our allegiance to him. That's how we're saved. And it's of no human works. The only work that we have is that it's not a thing that we can do with our hands or anything else. It's that moment when we recognize that I am a sinner and I repent. Will you forgive me my sins, Jesus? And I put my trust in you. I put my belief in you, put my faith in you, pledge my allegiance to you. That's the moment that we're saved. And apart from that heart change, there's absolutely nothing that we can do, nothing we can add to or take away from what Jesus has done for us on the cross. What we're going to see here in the book of Galatians is the thing that Paul is dealing with is this yes, but, or yes, and, right? Yes, you do have to put your faith in Jesus, but you've also got to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. Yes, you have to put your faith in Jesus, but you also have to stop, you know, eating these kinds of things and doing this, right? It's the yes, and the yes, but. You take the gospel and you add to or you take away from it. And Paul says, it's no longer the gospel at all. And that's what we're going to see here. It was rampant in Paul's day, and it's rampant in our day as well. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.